Well, at this moment we are with 62 people, so I would suggest that we start. If other people join later on, we will admit them. So I think it's best that we start. So good morning, everybody. Welcome for this webinar on topic ITS, which can benefit cyclists and pedestrians. Just a second. Just a few small practicalities, since we are with quite a large group. The first suggestion that we have, or agreement that we would like to make, is that everybody keeps his mic and his video off at all time. This will help a lot. And secondly, the moderator, so Peter and myself, will guide you through this webinar. We will also record this, because there are some people who couldn't join today. If you should disagree for any reason, please let us know. So it's quite easy to just stop recording. So just let us know if you disagree with that. Thirdly, the participant list we've sent you a few days ago, and also all the slides will be sent to you afterwards. So on the last slide, you will find the link, and there you will find the whole presentation that we're given today. Also, we will send this also by mail, of course. And a fourth and final practicality that we have is, should you have any questions, then please use the chat box for this. At the end of every presentation, we will select a few questions and we will moderate this a bit to make it also easier for the speakers. So we are with a group, large group. And it can also be a bit difficult to keep it a bit interactive. And that's why we also put a few questions in Menti, the tool that we use, just to ask questions. So just to see if this works for you. So it's quite easy. Or you go to the website of Menti and fill in the code, or you just scan your QR code. Just a warm-up question. Sorry for the people who are not that coffee addicts. Okay, this seems to work. So the QR code will be at the left side at all times when we use the Mentimeter. So a second question is to see who is the group today. So just fill in the name of your organization. This is always a very nice one to see, and you can always send out a list with many names, but this is always a very interesting one.
It's also interesting to see who goes to the central kit.
Yes, I see indeed the people from Mobley who are with a few people present, also some people abroad from Mobilidata, indeed. And there are still new people coming in. So, okay. So this is the Mentimeter. We will use this also at the end of all presentations to ask you some questions and to start the discussion. So these are the speakers for today. And this is also the program that you received and the speakers or the topics that will be presented during this webinar. Very briefly, in two, three slides, just to explain you a bit who we are and why we are organizing this webinar. So we at ITS Belgium, we are a public-private association which enables sustainable mobility through ITS, through intelligent transport systems. And in the mobility domain, we stand in between authorities and companies. So we represent quite a lot of authorities on all policy levels, and also companies for quite large groups. And this is the network that we represent, going from small companies to sector federation, large multinationals, authorities on all policy levels. And together with our members, we've defined four priorities. And so the webinar of today, which focuses on bicyclists and pedestrians, can be found in the mobility, multimodality domain, where we have two priorities. For each priority, we have an action plan with specific axis goals that we have, and for which we try to align discussions. And like we said, we see quite a lot of best practices also for bikes and also for pedestrians, and often they are not that well known. And this is something that we try to align, we try to highlight them. And this is also something that also given the current situation of Corona, where we see that the bike is winning ground. So we thought that this is a good moment to give an overview on what is possible in this subdomain. So over to you, Peter, to give us a deep dive on what is happening in this subdomain.
Thank you, Kurt, and welcome everybody. I think people that know us, neutral public-private partnership, and our meetings or webinars, know that everybody speaks his or her language. English is a bit of the default, but if you're more comfortable with Dutch or French, please do so. We, as you, have of course talked and looked a lot around us as what impact is of Corona on mobility. And everybody knows that cycling was already very much in the lift, and I think that in the top three of stairs, lasting impact of Corona on mobility, it is quite clear that the uptake of bicycles and cycling is an important one. So I'm really very happy and excited to introduce. And Kurt can maybe quickly show the agenda. Some very interesting speakers to you that are, first of all, Ronald Jorna, who will taking us through a whole mix, let's say, of ITS solution, smart mobility solution for cycling. Then we have Wout Baert with us that will talk about Velopark, even though everybody knows that his remit and his focus is much wider than that. And we think it is a very significant ITS development in the cycling field. We have Julie Marien of the Flemish Ministry of Mobility that will link cycling and pedestrians to mobility data, but an initiative that many of you know and is in our view also very important. And last but not least, Mikael, who will look at the data layer for ITS solution. Then we also very much look forward to hearing from all of you throughout the chat, hopefully during the webinar, but also at the end, where we will zoom in on, I think, common insights on ITS solutions and policy measures that can have a big impact on the uptake and user comfort as far as cycling is concerned. So without further ado, Kurt, I think we can give the floor to Ronald for the first presentation.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay, then I can start. Thank you very much for inviting me for this webinar. I'm working at the province of Overijssel, and I'm leading the bicycles and ITS project. It started about 1 year ago. And I will lead you, indeed, as was mentioned already by Peter van der Perre, I will lead you through a number of ITS applications it can help to promote cycling. I should now be able to go to the next slide, but this did not work. I think, Kurt, you have to handle it. Yeah, okay, thank you. So normally, if people think about think about ITS, they think about ITS for cars. Everybody knows about the floating car data, about connected vehicles, CITS, about VMSs, FLMSs, signs for car traffic. And also maybe you've heard already about the compact truck parking solutions in Germany. Next, please. If we think about ITS, in our BITS project especially, we are thinking about cycling, bicycles. So we have already applications for floating bike data. There are connected bicycles to influence, for example, traffic lights. We have VMSs for bicycles to give route directions. And in the picture on the bottom left-hand side, you see an intelligent bike parking in the city of Utrecht. Next, please. So, more about the bicycles and ITS project. The bicycle and ITS project is a project of the Nordsee Region program, an Interreg program, which is located in the blue areas on the map. And there you also see where the partners of the consortium are located. Next, please. Yes, the project has an investment of 4.9 million euro in cycling and ITS and data. And half of that is funded by this Interreg program. And as you can see, the partners are the province of Overijssel is the lead partner. But we have also a strong presence from Belgium. The province of Antwerp is a partner. The city of Bruges, the educational institute FIFES, and also Cycling Industry Europe, which is a kind of branch organization for the cycling industry. It's a European organization. And then in addition, we have German partners, Danish partners, and the UK. Project started in 2019, and we still have another 2 years to go. Next, please. What are the objectives of the BITS project? First of all, we want to make cycling more attractive with ITS. Normally, people make cycling more attractive by making more bicycle parkings, making more bicycle lanes, but we focus on implementation of ITS. This will lead to more cycling, we assume, and automatically also to a reduction of CO2 emission. If you talk about ITS, automatically you talk about data, because ITS is producing data. So the data can be used directly as direct feedback to the cyclist, or to communicate interactively with the cyclist, but also you can use the data which you collect for making better cycling policy. For example, if you know that your bicycle parking is occupied all the time with for 98% or 100%, you know you have to do something about it. And last but not least, in this kind of European project, you also want to learn from each other. And of course, everybody knows there is a big difference between, for example, cycling in the Netherlands and Belgium or cycling in the UK. So people can learn from each other. Next, please. This picture I would call the philosophy of our project. It starts with, in the middle, the bicycle pyramid, which was developed by the province of Overijssel and which states it more or less in parallel with Maslow pyramid. First of all, if you want to cycle, people cycle, you have to make it for sure that safety and reliability is covered. Next is speed and convenience, and ultimately, comfort and experience. ITS can help on all of these levels. You have applications which help to improve safety or reliability, and you have also applications who improve comfort and experience, and everything in between. These ITS applications will produce data. You see that on the right-hand side, the cycle data will go into a cycle data hub, which is run by the province of Antwerp. And the data can then be used either for cycling policy or as a direct feedback to the cyclist, or application builders can use the open data to make even better apps. Next, please. So the Bits project logic, click please. We have a lot of cities and six cities and regions and one private company who want to demonstrate it. They want to improve cycling conditions in the region. They want to do that through the implementation of ITS for cyclists and then also collect cycling data. Next, please. So what you see here is the cities, they want to improve the cycling on the various levels, which can be different for each city. And then we have clustered their applications because they will implement 20 more or less pilots. And we have clustered them in four types. I come to that later. And ultimately, this goes into the cycle data hub, and we will do the evaluation, of course, and the lessons learned. Next, please. So here you have an overview of all the applications. I don't think it is important that you read all of the little boxes, but on the left-hand side, you see again the three levels of the bicycle pyramid. And at the top, you see the six cities and regions. And Baron is it's a private company in Niedersachsen. And as you can see, we have, for example, infrastructure-based systems which can be used on two levels, on the safety and reliability level, but also to increase the speed and the ease of use. Interactive systems also can be used for safety. For example, the Ping app, you can say, where are my dangerous spots on the road? And the users can do that. But you can also use interactive systems for gamification. So there's a whole mix of all these systems that can be used at different levels. And of course, the idea is also to put the outputs or the data from these systems in the cycle data hub. By the way, the cycle data hub is not restricted to only these applications. All people, all parties that have interesting cycling data that they want to share with other people are most welcome to make their data accessible. The Cycle Data Hub is not a big database, but the Cycle Data Hub is a kind of an open data platform. So we just make links to the open data. Next slide, please. So if you look at the first implementations that we are now working on or even already started, and I put the two ones from Belgium in the top. The first one is a near collision detection system at junctions. This is done by the province of Antwerp, and they won the road safety awards for that for the region of Flanders. A smart parking application with cameras is now just standard in the tendering process ongoing for the city of Bruges. And then we have a couple of other ones, like, for example, priority for cyclists at traffic lights. One of the options is to do that only for couriers in the city of Zwolle or to detect certain groups who go fastest through the green light, an extended green. Also, to provide dynamic information on the travel times for cyclists. So which route is, so they get information on the expected travel time to a certain point in the city. In England, they are really at the very, let's say, basic level of cycling and cycling infrastructure. So they want to give bicycles for free to people who really need bicycles and can't afford it in exchange of delivering data on the trips. In Zwolle city, they want to have some smart lighting in an ecological zone, so not to disturb the natural wildlife there too much. And also there they have so-called sniffing bikes where people cycle with a small box on the bicycle and they collect data on the environment like particles or CO2. And the last one is a gamification app which leases bicycles in Germany. Next, please. Yes, so we are working on a lot of applications, but before doing so, we also wanted to see what is in the market. So what we did is we investigated through the internet and through our contacts approximately 100 solutions for cyclists. This is now put in a state-of-the-art report, and at the end of my presentation you will find the website where you can download this report with the 100 descriptions. And of course, they are not all 100 totally different, but we might also have more or less the same systems from different providers. And there's also an Excel which can also be downloaded, and there you can make a selection if you are interested, for example, only in systems which provide more safety, or only systems which provide more experience or gamification. Next, please. So the state-of-the-art report has clustered the applications in four categories: infrastructure-based systems, systems collecting data on cycling, systems that provide information to the cyclist one way, but also interactive ITS systems. And as I mentioned already, for each of them, there is information on the objectives of the system. So if the system helps to improve the safety, the speed, the cyclist comfort, etc. And by the Excel tool, you can click on what you are looking for, and then you will only see those applications that provide this, let's say, objective. Next, please. And the next one. Oh, you skipped one. Can you go one back, please? My mistake. Does something happen here? No. Okay, then I do the disclaimer myself. So this overview of the state of the art is not 100% covering everything. There might be a lot of systems still missing. We invite you, if you are a system provider and you want to have your system also added to the state of the art, please contact me. You will find my contact details at the end. Here it is, exactly. You can send me an email, and then I can send you, let's say, the template to fill in, and we will somehow find a way to add other systems later on into the state of the art. Thank you. Next, please. Oh, now something goes wrong. Can we go back to the colored pages? One back? Yes, this one. Okay. So some examples of the state of the art. As I mentioned, there are four different categories in the infrastructure-based ITS. For example, you can see smart lighting on the cycle track, or also a traffic light with a rain sensor. For example, in Rotterdam, they use one. If the rain sensor notices, let's say, rain, then the traffic light will be faster on green for the cyclist, so that they will have less of traffic offenses going through the red light, which improves safety but also speed. On the bicycle data collection category, for example, you have the bicycle counters, but of course you can also use floating car data, and then you can make this very interesting maps of where people cycle most. Information provision to cyclists is more a one-way type of communication, where, for example, in the top hand, you as a user, you can see in the city of Utrecht where you can find the nearest bicycle parking and how many still empty places they have. And this is a big issue, especially around the central station in Utrecht. And the bottom part, you see the speed advice for green light. So a cyclist enters the traffic light, and then he will get an advice on his speed. So whether he should move like a fast rabbit or whether he should go as slow as a turtle. And then he will get the green light. And then we have the interactive systems, for example, an app to say how the infrastructure is, where the infrastructure is bad, or where an intersection is, for example, dangerous. But you can also do gamification, and I think bike to work is something like that, where you get a reward when you cycle more. Next, please. Yeah. So to finish my presentation, we are, of course, the BITS partners, but we would very much like to be in touch with the whole community around cycling and ITS. So we see a lot of cycling professionals who don't know a lot yet about ITS because it is a relatively new domain. On the other hand, we see a lot of ITS companies who are more focused on cars, but also might have a wider look towards cycling. So What we do is, if you would like to register, you can send an email here, and then we can include you in, for example, the email regular news updates that we do, or we can invite you for further events. And the last one, I guess. Yes, here you find a few of our social media accounts. And I don't think my email is here. Oh yeah, you can see the email at the bottom there. You have, this is a general email of our project. So for any further questions or remarks, maybe later in questions or otherwise by email after this meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Roland, for this introductory presentation. As Kurt indicated, we welcome one or two questions at the end of each talk, and of course many more at the end of the webinar, where we would like to have an open discussion. I've seen that some of you have already found the chat box. Very good instrument, of course, for popping up some of the questions to Ronald. I think as an introduction is quite clear. We as well, Ronald, make a distinction between what is happening at the intelligent infrastructure side. Quite a few companies that have also joined us, like FLIR and like Ecoms, amongst others, that have this intelligent infrastructure, let's say, solutions. The data layer is, of course, common to all ITS solutions. And then third and foremost, the ITS solutions, where you have literally not just dozens, but hundreds of ITS solutions. Ronald, you have a deliverable which is describing these. And I would like to invite you to put the URL to that deliverable on the chat. I think it's quite fine that people have it for sure already, let's say, at their disposal. As far as questions are concerned, you see in the chat box already a few interesting ones. Tom is asking about the link between these, let's say, solutions and mass applications. I think the distinction between smart infrastructure, data, and then solution integrated in mass or not is an interesting one. And then you can see also questions of Herlinde and Baptiste, what can we monitor? Can we distinguish between different types of bikes and scooters? And we know, of course, things like e-call and stolen vehicle recovery for cars. Does it also exist for bikes? So maybe a quick answer, Ronald, to some of the questions that popped up on the Zoom.
Yeah, I have to see if I can find those messages.
All right. Well,
okay, I can see a few. Yeah.
Is there a link to, how do you see the link between what you reported and MAS?
Yeah, we have not really so much covered, also because of the interest of our cities, the MAS solutions. Because in many cases, our cities are the ones who deliver the ITS applications, or they are not, let's say, the business-oriented solutions like in the MAS. Most MAS solutions are coming from the businesses. So this is not covered in our state-of-the-art review, but we are thinking about including them as well, because we know that there is a growing interest into this.
Okay. And then in terms of detection capacity, can we distinguish if I have understood Herlinde's question correctly, can the monitoring distinguish between e-bikes, scooters?
Well, I know it in the pilot of the smart cameras in Antwerp, there was a difficulty in detecting the difference between, for example, a cyclist and a motorcyclist. And also, I know that this is not always as clear, and the same applies for certain counting tools, more traditional ones, if you can detect the difference between, let's say, a moped and a cyclist. Yeah. So this is not clear yet.
We will come back to this question, Ronald, because we have some experts like Werner Filet of FLIR, for instance, with us. So we're sure that we can complement it in the minutes or follow up the call. And then maybe as a last question, bike theft, stolen vehicle recovery, does it already exist?
I know that there is one of those shared bicycle systems has indeed a chip inside, and they can find out where their stolen bicycle is. So it does exist. Yes. I also see, by the way, that now already my colleague from the CIE has put the link to the state-of-the-art report in the chat function.
Very well. So I propose to move on and go to the next presentation. I see that we might have a problem moving forward, Kurt. If so, I see that Kurt has it. If so, I will take over and share my screen. And give the floor to Julie Marian of the Flemish Department of Mobility. Julie, the floor is yours.
Okay, Peter, but I think Wout was first on the agenda. But it's fine by me.
I leave you first, no problem.
Me?
Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Okay. I'll also start my video. good morning, everyone. Peter, can you maybe try to put the presentation on full screen?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No problem.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, so my name is Julie Marian. I am policy officer at the Department of Mobility and Public Works. And Peter van der Perre and Kurt Marquet invited me to inform you on the use cases that we've selected within the mobility data program for pedestrians and cyclists. But as a policy officer, I wanted to inform you on what is written in our policy note first. Briefly, just to summarize, the fact that we will increase the share of sustainable modi to at least 40%. So this includes cyclists, pedestrians, but also public transport. We will invest in dynamic and smart traffic lights, and we will do so by implementing the mobility data program. We will also invest in active detection systems for cyclists. We will also increase to 300 million by the end of this legislature for cycling infrastructure. We will provide a strong impulse to shared mobility as well through making bicycle sharing systems available through investing in high quality bicycle parkings and through Mobi hubs. And as you might know, we also developed a standard for shared mobility together with ITS.be, IMEC, Information Flanders, and the Agency of Information in Flanders. Maybe I'm forgetting a partner. We will also identify and eliminate dangerous spots. So these are so-called black spots and gray spots. And at the moment, we are looking into this through using in-vehicle data from FEBIAC to identify locations where a lot of near accidents happen, but we still need to look into the results. And we will also cooperate with GPS operators in order to avoid vulnerable areas in route suggestions. So we want GPS operators ideally to avoid school areas, for example. Thank you. and then going into further depth in what the Mobility Data Program is all about. Well, the Mobility Data Program has very broadly three goals. We want to improve road safety, we want to improve traffic flow, but we also want to reduce emissions. And we will do so by implementing a sustainable digital data infrastructure and by stimulating the use of this data in innovative applications. So in order to realize these three goals, we've selected a couple of use cases. And for these use cases, we will provide the data that is needed to realize these use cases. And we will provide this data on one digital data platform. Can you go to the next slide, Peter? Thank you. And so we've selected use cases or innovative solutions within four domains. The first one is the rollout of CITS, so Cooperative Intelligent Transport Systems, applications with intelligent traffic light control systems, for example, information on the time to green or prioritization of priority vehicles. Second domain is rollout of other CITS applications. This includes market ready or almost market ready CITS services. For example, the warning of a slippery road. And then the third domain is research and development on next generation smart mobility applications. Within this domain, we've identified two topics. The first one is a demonstrator on a truck guidance system in and around the port of Antwerp. And the second one involves research and development for CITS services for cyclists and pedestrians. And then the last domain is policy supporting applications or analysis. So within the first three domains, we've also selected use cases that apply for cyclists and pedestrians. And if you go to the next slide, Peter, I can give you an overview of all the use cases that we've selected. So this is our definite shortlist, which includes all use cases. So for the different modi, we have 29 use cases at the moment. And we've reduced this from a total of 400 use cases that we received through a large consultation with the market. And also through this consultation with the market, we were able to reduce it to 29 now, in which 7 apply for cyclists and pedestrians. So we've categorized them into 5 categories. One on traffic legislation and advice, such as road signs. A second one on personal support or risk reduction, the typical warnings, for example, spilled load warning. Then the third category involves all the CITS services that are related to intelligent traffic light controllers, such as giving priority to public transport, or a group of cyclists, or traffic signal optimization in general. And from our policy perspective, we've also made a policy document in which we elaborate on which modi in which contexts get a higher priority, so gets a higher weight on crossing the intersection. So for example, cyclists and pedestrians in cities get a higher priority than motorized vehicles, for example. Then the fourth category involves navigation and parking management. And the last one involves policy support. And next slide. And so I just wanted to mention that we have a couple of stakeholder managers within the Mobilidata program, and that we've selected these use cases in cooperation with stakeholders on the one hand, private sectors on the other hand, but also through end user consultation, so through regular citizens. And we had a lot of workshops as well, in order to make sure that the use cases that we've selected are use cases in which our stakeholders see value and in which the market, the private sector also sees business value. Next slide. And then what's in it for pedestrians and cyclists? So within the first domain, the intelligent traffic light controller, we've identified four use cases that apply to active road users. The first one is information on time to green or time to green advice and speed advice. The second one is intelligent traffic light signal optimization, in which cyclists and pedestrians can indicate their location and can also make sure that they are detected through different detection systems, such as providing a signal through their smartphone, but also with the active detection systems that we have already in place. And so in this way, cyclists don't have to wait, stop any longer for a traffic light, but can cross the intersection faster or without having to stop. Then also prioritization of a group of vulnerable road users. So in this use case, a group, for example, a group of school children can indicate that they want to cross an intersection, and the first person in the group and the last person in the group identify themselves as the first and the last person in the group. And in that way, they can cross the intersection without interrupting the group in half. So the entire group can cross the intersection in one time slot. And then the last one within this domain is prioritization in adverse weather conditions. Exactly as in Rotterdam, we also want to give higher priority to vulnerable or active road users in case of bad weather conditions. Next slide. And then for the domain of the other CITS services, we've selected three use cases. So information on static road signs, information on a priority vehicle approaching, and also information ideally on the road this priority vehicle is using and in which direction it is going. And then the last one, information on roadworks warning. So a pedestrian or cyclists can opt for a different route before departure. Next slide. So this is the planning for 5 years. Mobility Data Program has a planning for 5 years from 2019 till the end of 2023. Within the first year, we've been focusing on our strategy, which includes the selection of the use cases together with different stakeholders. And right now we are working really hard on the specifications and the request for proposal. And so the request for proposal for the innovation partnership will be published this year around summertime in order to make sure that the design can start by the beginning of next year and the development can start in June 2021. And so if everything goes well, the deployment should start in December 2022. For the intelligent traffic light controllers, the request for proposal will be published in June. And we expect the first intelligent traffic light controllers to be on the road in Flanders during the first half of 2021. And then we will gradually roll out all the intended intelligent traffic light controllers until the end of the program. And then there is the third domain, the research and development domain, next generation smart mobility applications, which has already started. Peter, can you go to the next slide, please? So within this domain, we identified three topics. And for these three topics, we will select one use case and go further into depth in these use cases. So the first area is on location accuracy, providing information on the location to other road users. The second area is bicycle parking management. Wout Baerts will discuss this further into depth, I think. And the third domain is concerns the intelligent traffic light controller. So if you go to the next slide, Peter, this is the use case that we've selected within the first topic, so the location accuracy. And the use case is called Peloton Compagnon. And within this use case, we want to share information on the location of a group of cyclists, for example, to other road users to increase the safety of this group of cyclists. But so we also need to make sure that this information enters the vehicle through a route application for motorized vehicles. So we are still looking for a partner to join us in this testing phase later in the program. Next slide. Then the second use case that we've selected was bicycle parking management use case, in which IMEC works together with Fietsberaad. But IMEC provides more the technology approach on how to realize facilitating parking or finding parking location for cyclists. Next slide. And then the last use case we've selected, which is in relation to the intelligent traffic light controller, are mobile accessible pedestrian signals, or in Dutch, mobiele rateltikkers. So within this use case, we want to conduct research on how we can communicate the signal of the traffic light to people who are blind or ill-sighted. And so these are the three use cases within the research and development domain. And within the next slide, I can explain the approach a little bit further. The pre-deployment phase has already finished, but now we are currently in the phase where we are doing a scoping exercise. So that's the part from 2020. We are currently doing a scoping exercise in which we want to really get to the basics of the research question involved. What is the actual problem here? And when we have scoped this problem, we will try to find the right fit or the right solution for this problem. And also very important to mention is that we have the intention, if the results of this of this research and development domain indicates that it is wanted and necessary and feasible. We also have the intention to implement these use cases as well, either through private or public stakeholders. And there's also a monitoring and evaluation part involved, in which we will evaluate this. But also more generally for the Mobilidata program, we will monitor and evaluate whether we've succeeded to accomplish our goals. Next slide, please. So to sum up, or to end with a call for cooperation, we want to join forces, and by we, I mean all the actors involved in the Mobilidata program. And so from the public side, that is the actors I've indicated in the slide below. So IMEC, the Department of Mobility and Public Works, the Department of Economy, Science and Innovation, the Agency of Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and of course the Agency of Roads and Traffic. We want to get to join forces with our stakeholders and with the private sector, with service providers, in order to obtain our policy goals by implementing innovative technologies, by creating smart devices for cyclists, by developing a platform to share data. And we are still looking for pilot testing partners, as mentioned. And also we want to gain more insight in vulnerable road users, because as was already mentioned, this is also a relatively new domain, CITS services for cyclists and pedestrians. And that's why we also invest in this research and development domain in order to make sure that there's also use cases or applications in it for cyclists and pedestrians. I think this was the end of my presentation. If there are any questions, I am glad to answer, but I know Eline Kozemans is also in the call, and she is also working on this full time. So if she has any comments or wants to answer questions.
Julie, so thank you very much for
you're welcome.
Great presentation. We use the chat, as people know, to let any questions bubble up. I think everybody on the call will understand that this Mobily Data initiative is really very significant. Julie did not mention the budget. I think it's about 30 million euro, Julie?
Yes, 29.
Yeah, and we have seen in different fora that people like Philippe Boulard or Tom Roland, so at the very top of the department and the agency for roads and traffic, have indicated that that budget in the next years will probably be tenfold. So we really warmly encourage everybody to follow the Mobily Data project. And maybe I can ask to Julie and Eline to already share the URL of the Mobily Data initiative, and also where, let's say, people that want to join the stakeholder group can hook up already during, let's say, the call. I don't see questions pop up at this moment. So just a quick one, Julie, which is from a cyclist and a pedestrian perspective, in your view, the number one solution looked at in Mobily Data?
Oh, that's a difficult question. For me, but that's my personal opinion, I think the solution, the fact that we can give a higher priority to cyclists and pedestrians at intersections is a very interesting one, because this can really contribute to the modal shift that we have in mind for Flanders. If you increase the comfort for cyclists and pedestrians in any circumstances, but certainly for bad weather, during bad weather conditions, for example, I think this can really promote cycling a lot. Yeah. And maybe create a modal shift. But that's my personal opinion.
So thus, maybe is a good transition to Wout Baert, Julie, of Fietsberaad Flanders, because as we heard from you, you're working now closely together with Wout and Fietsberaad. And so it will. That is very promising. We look forward to his presentation. So I think I will stop sharing my screen, and I think Wout, you are able to take it over, or Kurt will do so for you.
I think Kurt asked me to share my own slide, so I'm trying to do so. Do you see the full presentation?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Then this will work fine. So thank you, Peter, for giving me the floor, the digital floor. So I will talk about Velopark, the open data standard for bicycle parking. It's an initiative that we've taken together with a couple cities, with IMEC, the railroad, national railroad company, Flemish government, and with the support of the federal government. And we started with this project because we found out in a survey in 2018 that 4 out of 10 users of bicycle parking lots were not really happy about the facilities and the level of service in bicycle parking lots. And on top of that, about 7 on 10 users or not inhabitants of Flanders never made the combination between a cycling bicycle and public transportation. So that means that an inhabitant, so 7 out of 10 never used their bike, parked it at a bus stop or a train station, and then went further on with the bus or the train. And if we look at the numbers in the Netherlands, we see that the amount of people going by bike to the train station is almost double from the numbers in Flanders. So in Flanders, in 2018, it was about 25%. And in the Netherlands, it was about half of the people going to the train station. Even the same results, although lower amounts, but it's the double as well, is people taking their bike after they after their train ride. And this has, of course, to do with the amount of station bikes, as we can call it, and also with the amount of bike sharing systems in the Netherlands. They have less systems, but they have a higher amount on the OV fiets, for example. So this was kind of the background for the project. So we saw a great potential for the combination of bicycle and public transport. We saw also a high demand for more theft safety and services in bicycle parking lots. And another thing we saw was that there is, at least in Belgium, little innovation in bicycle parking. So that was the place where we started the Velopark project. So we got support from the Smart Mobility from Smart Mobility Belgium, which was launched by Minister De Croo and Belot. And in this first phase of the project, we wanted to set up a Belgian platform for open data on bicycle parking. So this first phase was supported by Smart Mobility Belgium, and we proposed a second phase as well, which is right now in development or in study, and it is the registration system for cyclists and bicycles as a condition for more controlled access, and so bike safety, theft safety in bicycle parking lots. So what were the goals of the projects? Of course, a mobility a modal shift and more combination for bicycle and public transportation, prevention of bicycle theft, and of course, also more efficient use of space in bicycle parkings. As you all know, bike leasing is is growing a lot. There are a lot of very nice and fancy and quite expensive bikes on the roads, but people tend not to use them to go to the train station because of a lack of comfort, a lack of safety, and so that's what we want to work on. So how does it work? What we ask from the participants is to use a template to describe their bicycle parking lots. They're brought together in the cloud, and then in this first phase, these data, these open data, are shared with users. So you can look at the data yourself at the VeloPark website, but these data can also be shared with route planners like Slim naar Antwerpen or other other applications can reuse the data we bring together. In a second phase, we do the bringing the bike and the cyclist together, and this means if we do some more access control in the bicycle parking lots, at least in the bigger ones, we also know how many places are available or are taken. And we can send these data back to the facility, to the website of the bicycle parking owner, and share them again with other applications. So this is already active for a few bicycle parking lots where there is detection, for example, the bicycle lockers in Vilvoorde, and also some parking lots in Kortrijk and Ghent. There, they share on VeloPark already the number of parking places that are taken or available. I will share the link later in the chat. So, how to add bicycle parkings on VeloPark? It's important to gather first, of course, all the information on the parking lot, so number of places, opening hours, location, etc. Entrances, surfaces, regulations. You can make an account, and then you go to the snippet generator, which helps you to describe correctly your bicycle parking. It's very easy, and then your data municipality or the National Railroad Company is informed that there is a new bicycle parking added, and they do a kind of relevance check. Of course, you can also link the data to your own website or copy the iframe and paste it in the website itself. So if you are a municipality or a private owner of big bicycle parkings, you can go to the admin website, so admin.velopark.be, and then you can start right away. So which kind of information is used in the template, of in this template? The template is developed by IMEC to set a standard on bicycle parking. So it's basic parking information. It's the name, the location. We also gather information on the authority, who's the owner, who's the manager, who can be contacted by the cyclist if there is a problem. We also ask to, there is a standard set of photos which describe typical types of bicycle parking lots, but you can add your own pictures. Then we ask parking information on every section. So a parking lot can be divided in different sections, for example, for different types of usage. For example, inhabitants of the community can use a part of the parking lot, and then another part is for visitors, or a part is for just for cargo bikes, and the other bigger part is for normal bikes. So you can divide this description of the bicycle parking in sections. Again, we give a name to every section, type of storage, number of floors, the accessibility, what's the maximum duration, what's the target audience. So this is all described together with the entrances. So the location, you have to describe the location and also the entrances, because we want that route planners bring you directly to the right side of, for example, the railway, and you don't have to make a detour. So you are, if you, the data is combined with a route planner, they bring you to the right spot of the entrance. So this all this information is described. Here you get a view of how it's working. This is in Dutch, but the website is in four languages: Dutch, French, German, and English. And you can choose yourself in which language you want to describe the parking lot. So because this is a Belgian initiative supported by the federal government, we set this up for the Fietsberaad has taken the initiative, but we're working together with our friends in Brussels and in the Walloon area. So then there is a relevance check mainly by the municipality. This is for two reasons. We want to make sure that the municipality knows the bicycle parking owner. This might be something new, someone new that they don't know of. So that's why it's sent first to the municipality, so they know what is the availability or which actors are active in their city on bicycle parking. As we think this will grow in the future, this is quite important. And of course, some bicycle parkings might not have added value. For example, a smaller parking lot at the a primary school is maybe not the first thing that needs to be put on the platform. On the contrary, a bigger parking lot of a shopping center is something we definitely want on the platform, of course. So that's why the municipality can do this check. So this is how the platform looks. This is Leuven. So when you fill in Leuven in the search screen, you get an overview of the city and the different parking lots in the area. You can go to a particular bicycle parking, and then you see the information described. Here it is in the Stad Leuven, but the management of the parking is done by APCOA Parking. So these are the contact details of APCOA, and then you see which type of bicycles can be parked there. This is how you can embed the iframe. So you just copy the code in your own website, and then all the information is available on your own website. Do you change anything on the Velopark platform, it is immediately also transferred to the website of your own company. So this is how municipalities, for example, can use the information on Velopark, or they can reuse the information of Velopark on their own city website. the website of VeloPark is also responsive. So this means that you can also look for the information when you're on the go. Future developments, excuse me for some wrong typing, is that we want to work further on access control and efficient use of space, theft safety, bicycle lockers at smaller stations and bus stops. They can have their place on VeloPark as well. For example, the bicycle lockers in Vilvoorde, they are on the platform right now. And we see also some more developments of more facilities and back office functions for people active in bicycle parking management. For example, the Fietspunten, they can do some innovation, which is, I think, very much needed. Where are we now? As of today, I just did a little check. We have now more than 1,600 bicycle parkings added. We started in December with about 500 bicycle parkings on the platform. And what I see is that the last 3 months, I don't know if this has anything to do with Corona and with the time of the civil servants and of the policy advisors in the cities, that they had nothing to do, but there are more than 1,000 bicycle parkings added the last 3 months. So this is getting a real success. We are also working with IMEC Mobilidata on access management and bicycle registration, bicycle parking management. We're working on a proof of concept. And this proof of concept we will put into practice with the National Railroad Company and the cities of Antwerp, Ghent, and Leuven, probably in the autumn of this year. And of course, we work there together again with EMEC and Mobilidata, who's more working on the technical side. So to give you a brief overview on what we thinking of, you see here a section, so a bicycle parking with different sections. And what we think to do is that one of these sections is made safe with gathering RFID information. So what we want to do is to tag the bike with a QR code or RFID code, which is and once the bike is entering this section, it is detected, and it's detected all the time. So it's detected when it's leaving the section as well. And why is this? In this way, we want to so this section in the bicycle parking lot, there you can bike. Park your bike for 24 hours, and if you're leaving your bike longer, the manager of the bicycle parking lot is informed, and he will take away your bike. In this way, we leave as many places available. We leave many places available for people, and this is a special section. Once you leave, the option is also to enlarge the section when it's needed, and also when you leave the bicycle parking lot, the tag can be detected by a camera who is taking a picture. Why is it taking a picture? If, for example, your bike is stolen, it's easier for the police to look at the immediately the right second on the images. And they can very easily look up the picture of your bike with the person who's stolen your bike. And in that way, they don't have to look through 24 hours of image material or video material. So that's a kind of the concept we are looking now on with IMEC and Mobilitata, and which we will work further on the next couple of weeks. So, this is I just want to ask to add your bicycle parking on the Velopark platform and sign the Velopark charter. It's taking an engagement in the further development. It's make sure that you use the template, keep your information up to date, and also you can participate in the further developments of Velopark. So this is again are all the partners. I really want to thank the cities of Antwerp, Ghent, and Leuven for believing in this project and started it up. But when we see how many cities and municipalities are using the platform today, I think we can only thank these three cities that they believed in it from the first start. I also want to thank Nazca, Morlaine, and IMEC to do the technical development and the process development, and also the experience of all the cyclist organizations that supported us. And of course, also the National Railroad Company, the Flanders government, and Velopads Agoria for their support. And of course, the federal government. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wout, for this rich presentation. If you've opened the chat, then you will have noticed quite a few remarks and questions for you. I think that you can consider that as a thumbs up. Kurt has flagged to me that we were aiming for a webinar until 11:30. So that means that time issues pop up a little bit. Now I propose to spill over that. So aim for 45, also having a look at the interesting presentation of Mikael. I'm not sure what questions you would like to pick up at this moment about, but if I can maybe try to summarize two, then there is a question about open data, how to get the Velopark data as open data also visible on the national data platform, the National Access Point NAP, as you might have seen. Mm-hmm. That is an answer to the question, how easily can they be integrated in mass applications? So maybe quickly a statement on open data. And secondly, there is also interesting comments about IDs for bikes, links to Velopass, for instance, by Traxio and Heekrap. So maybe you can also comment on that one. So open data and maybe the ID issue.
Well, as we will go to the proof of concept, we will see, or we will have some first experience on the detection of bikes and the use of QR codes and RFID, and this will probably also help other developers of codes and bicycle registration to improve their product. I think it's we have to make sure. There is also the initiative of My Bike Brussels. So there are a couple systems, and it's not. I don't think it's up to us now at this moment to choose for one of the systems. We first want to test on site what is really working, and then we can go further on. But it's definitely interesting that different parties are working in the same direction. I just also shared the link to one of the parking lots. I think it's the one of Kortrijk. I'm not sure. Yes, it's the one of Kortrijk, and then you see how the real-time data are shared at this moment. Peter, I have to apologize because I accepted the meeting at 11:30, so I cannot stay for the follow-up of the meeting.
Yeah, no worries, and thank you very much for being here, Wout. We will, of course, be hearing and seeing each other afterwards. I just shared another element that I think is important for everybody, that is a Flemish data standard, also covering biking standardization, will obviously increasingly be important. I thank you for joining us, Wout. My apologies to the group that we will allow to spill over a little bit, and the floor
Kyle
on his presentation.
Any questions on Velopark are welcome at info@fietsberaad.be, and then we will answer, of course, and see how we can work together.
Thank you. Over to you, Michael.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. I'm starting to share my screen. Allow me just to fix it quickly. It doesn't seem to work from here. I will just give me one more second, please. Peter of Kurt, it doesn't work from your...
I suggest you take over, and otherwise I will.
I try just... So, okay. Do you see my screen now? Okay, great. So good morning, everybody. My name is Michael. I'm the director of Fietsersbond. Fietsersbond is the Belgian Dutch-speaking association for cyclist rights. We are cyclist advocates or lobbyists, if you prefer. We have a program called Bike to Work, which is a motivational program for companies in Belgium. And I will today speak you shortly about the data needs and the solutions we provided, we are working on, to cover these data needs. Next slide, please. So we see that there is a real need for reshared public space. You may have noticed it in your neighborhood or your municipality. We see more people cycling more often on more diverse bikes. The diversity on bikes on our roads has never been as big as these days. So their public space comes on pressure, and we have to cope with that. We have to find solutions. So there is increased demand for high quality and safe cycling routes. That's something that always come back, and we saw it earlier this morning in the presentation of Ronald with the triangle of the cyclist needs. It has to be safe in the first place. To have these safe cycling routes, we have to reshare the public space, especially in urban environment. The square meters that we have, we cannot grow them or diminish them. We have to reallocate the place that we give to the different modes. So we say at Fietsersbond that it's important to reshare public space to welcome this bigger group of various active road users. Important is also that the cycling routes that we are building now must be future-proof. It's we all know that more cyclists will come in the future, and especially in urban areas. So you don't have to build cycling routes for today, but the cycling routes for tomorrow. And to do this, and this is the link with the presentations of today, data are needed to determine what we have to do and where we have to implement. Next slide, please. So maybe you have asked yourself already this question, do we need data? Do we need more data? Because we all have this is a smartphone, and we have all this in our pocket. It registers pretty everything. Can't we simply ask Google to provide the information? Maybe you get once in a month this nice email from Google Timeline, and Timeline tells you where what you have been doing during the last month. So basically, this information, this data exists somewhere. I don't know at what price, but most of the data is available. Another idea that we hear often is that the road authorities, and I know that some road authorities are watching this morning, that road authorities monitor everything. They know already everything. And another remark we hear sometimes is, do we have to do so much hassle for what's just cycling infrastructure? Well, next slide, please. Yes, despite the former slide, yes, we need data and we need more data, because there are some important things we still don't know, or we don't know enough about some important parameters. Here I put three bullet points. What do we need to know more is the cyclist behavior. How many are them? When are they cycling? Where are they cycling? And very important, where are they not cycling? Julie told about the black spots, the zwarte punten, but also the gray spots. We call them the blind spots, which are the places where you have no accidents, so they don't appear in statistics, for the simple reasons that they are felt dangerous by cyclists. So cyclists are carefully avoiding these places, and as a consequence, you don't have any accident and they don't appear in statistics. And you might think that the place is safe. So that's blind spots. Another type of data that we need is cycling infrastructure as such. Where does it lie? You would be surprised how many municipalities or even regions don't know exactly where the cycling infrastructure lies, nor in what state it is. Is it good? Is it bad? And how good or how bad is it? Also very important, the missing links. A cycling route it feels like a tram line. You cannot, if you take out just 10 centimeters of a tram line, the tram line is interrupted. Well, for cyclists, if you have a missing link in your cycling route, you might feel that your cycling route is not complete or not safe, and you won't use it. So missing links is really, really important to identify and to tackle. A third point is the cycling investments. It's maybe not that relevant for this webinar, but in when you look at cycling policy, it's really important to know who is investing, how much, when, where. But for today, I will leave that point behind. Next slide, please. So, now that you are absolutely convinced that we need more data, the question is, which data do we need and what do we need to collect them? Next slide. This is a short list I made out of our own experience. It's not complete. It's made out of the experience that Fietsbond Bike to Work has had in the 20 last years. When it comes to cyclists, it's important to know the typology of cyclists. We say that cycling infrastructure must be safe and comfortable for people from 8 to 88. So it's important to see by whom is your cycling infrastructure being used. Is it used only by young, fit men in Lycra or not? Then you might have a problem, because if you don't see any children or elderly or women or more women on your cycling infrastructure, that says something about how good or how bad your infrastructure is. Also important to know is the type of bikes. We see more and more backfietsen, cargo bikes. We see a high rise of speed pedelecs. They need more space because they are going faster. They need also more space to, I'm searching for the English word, from inhalen, to take over safely. So the type of bikes is also very important to know. How much are the cyclists? What is their behavior, especially at crossings? We notice that, we hear often that cyclists do not respect red lights. And of course, we all see that, and I don't tolerate that neither. But sometimes I think maybe there is something wrong with the lights and the time and the duration that you have to wait at lights. So maybe you can learn something from the behavior of cyclists and that says something about the crossing. So we have to know more and to look at the behavior of cyclists and especially at crossings. More generally, what are the needs of cyclists when it comes to cycling routes, cycling infrastructure? And second category is infrastructure itself. Where does it lie? The cycling route existing, but also the desired cycling routes. And the last point of infrastructure is the state of the infrastructure. Is it good? Is it bad? Very important is the wayfinding. At Fietsenbond, we say that your wayfinding is okay if a child of 10 can use it. As long as a child of 10 cannot use your wayfinding system, maybe you should do something about it. Because a cycling network is there for everybody, also for kids. And if a kid can find his way in the city thanks to a good wayfinding system, then you're doing the right thing. On the right corner, of the screen, you see be selective. It's not because gathering data is possible that it's desirable. I think we have to be careful in what kind of data we want to know, we want to register, because it's technically possible to register pretty everything. But IT is complex, IT is expensive, and it takes time. So maybe it's better to be a little more selective in what you exactly want to know, instead of seeing it too far, too much, and at the end ending with nothing really usable. So be selective in the data you want to register. Next slide, please. So what is the ideal data flow? You have five different steps. At first, of course, you register the data, you register the facts there is a lot of counting infrastructure. Maybe in this room you are a specialist of counting infrastructure. Don't forget to work with people to register data. For example, behavior, cyclist behavior at crossings, it's very difficult to do it with proper IT. Maybe putting people at the four corners of a crossing from an elevated point at a crossing and doing that for some days will give you as valuable data as extensive IT project. It's just an idea. But of course, you can use IT, smartphones, apps, and so on. Once you registered your data, you have to compile them in datasets, preferably make them open data and provide them in data lakes. I'm very happy about the project Cycle Data Hub, which was presented earlier this morning. Then comes the crucial step of analyze and comparison of data, because just data sets and where that lies in a database, it's not very interesting. We need people or intelligence or software to analyze and compare this data. And there's the fourth step, make recommendations. That is what Fietsenbond constantly do, is based upon data, upon registrations, we try to make the best recommendations possible for our road authorities and try to help them to identify the gaps, to identify the problems and provide solutions. And then the last step is adapt policy and infrastructure. That is the role of politics and road authorities, but based on the this flow, that's really ideal. I have an example for you on the next slide. You all saw that last week, one of major axes in Brussels, the Wetstraat, Rue de la Loi, got a new cycle lane. That cycle path, cycle lane, didn't came there because the minister or had just one idea. No, we know that there is a need there. We know since 15 years that the cycle path is too small. We know that it's not comfortable. We know that it's dangerous for pedestrians there. We know it. We know it based on data. We're based on registration and registration made by people. We get a lot of comments by cyclists. Fietsenbond, we work as a, we listen a lot to cyclists and we compile all these. This is all valuable data, this advices of cyclists. So that's one reason why the Wetstraat got one extra cycle lane last week. Next slide, please. I will shortly present three solutions we developed at Fietsenbond to cope with the data need. First one is the MeetFiets, the vélo mesureur, or the measuring bike. It answers the following question: how good or bad is the infrastructure? The second one is Bike2Work's Fietsrouteplanner. I would translate it as a cycling route advice. And we develop currently a route tracker. And the third solution we are developing is an e-platform cycling data that answers the question, where are the black spots or the blind spots and how to solve them. Next slide, please. What does the MeetFiets do? What does the measuring bike do? It was first invented in 2013 to measure the quality of cycling infrastructure and more specifically the vibrations. Because we were a little bit fed up with these discussions that we had when we had elder men saying that my cycling infrastructure is perfect, while the cyclist in the municipality said, no, it's not perfect. So who was right, who was wrong? There was only way to know it is to develop a measuring bike that would measure the vibrations. So you will see on the next slide how it works. Basically, it measures really the trillingen, the vibrations on the road. So we are not a fan of cobblestones. They have very bad score. Newly put asphalt is always the best score. So if you're hesitating between concrete clinkers and asphalt, please choose asphalt. It's they rate every time 10 on 10. But the measuring bike measures much more than just the quality. It collects up to 45 parameters of the cycling infrastructure, the width, the height, differences in height, the road signs, type of surface covering, the road type, and so on. These data are collected and put in a huge database. We clean them up and we put it at the disposal of our customers. And these data are accessible in so-called GIS software. I guess to this audience, I don't have to explain what GIS software is, Geographic Information System software, to make it available. Important to know, the data of the measuring bike are not open data, not because they are secret, but it's because it's a lot of data. It's really, really a lot of data. And just putting in all these data in a data lake wouldn't be very efficient. You really need knowledge people to analyze this data. So it has absolutely no sense to put this huge amount of data in a data set. Here you see, this is my colleague Thierry on the MeetFiets. It's basically an e-bike with a lot of technical nice thing on it. The third wheel you see behind him is the trillingsmeter, the vibration sensor is in the third wheel. And a lot of parameters are measured with sensors, but also just by viewing and put into the app that's on the wheel. At the right image, excuse me, can you, yes, thank you. You see an example of the results of the we call it an audit of cycling routes in the province of Antwerp. That's what the province of Antwerp sees after we made an audit. of course, you can zoom in and see a lot of parameters, but that would bring us too far today. Next slide, please. This brings us to the second solution, which is developed in the frame of Bike to Work, our program for companies, a motivational program for companies. First, we have developed a Fietsrouteplanner. This is cycling route advice. Why would we develop something like that? Because we noticed that there wasn't a real tool made by cyclists for cyclists. Most of us use Google Maps for the cycling routes, and you will get a cycling route. But the most experience that we have is that cycling route is not all the time most appropriate for your needs as a cyclist. So we thought there is a gap in the market, and there is a real need for cyclists to have cycling routes based on their needs. And here you see two screenshots of the Fietsrouteplanner. It's very easy to use. Just go to biketowork.be, make a free account, and you can start to make your own cycling route. Next slide, please. We stay in the environment of Bike to Work, where we are currently developing a route tracker that's available in the forthcoming app. It's not released yet, but we are working on it at this moment. And that is the idea, is to know where and when cyclists are cycling. So here you see two screenshots, how it looks like. The app will be able to track your ride. And at the end, we will have an overview on the most used cycling routes in a city, in a region. That's very important to know where and when cyclists are cycling. Next slide. The third and last solution we are developing is the e-platform for cycling data. excuse me. At Fietsersbond, we have, maybe you don't know, but we work with a huge network of volunteers. We call them the lokale afdelingen van de Fietsersbond. We have about 1,000 volunteers in Brussels and Flanders. They are working in their free time as Fietsersbond and trying to improve cycling policy on a municipal level. What they do also, our volunteers, they register cycling data. It can be problems, can be solutions, can be roads that to be resolved and so on. And the one does that in Excel, the other one in Google Maps, in Word, in OpenStreetMap, and so on. At the end, we end up with 100 different databases. And while we are all registering the same kind of data, so this is not very efficient. So we are now working on Fietsersbond e-platform to put all this data together. That's very important for us to have an overview on all this data, to allow us to make some analyses and see where are common problems and how these common problems can be solved. And we have often authorities that ask us, please tell us where do we have to act in priority and what do we have to do there? And thanks to this internal platform, we will be able to give a swift and quick feedback to the authorities, allowing them to act quicker. You have to see this e-platform as a map where we put some layers of information, each data set being a different layer. We will start in 2020 as an internal platform, but the goal is to open it in the future to the public, allowing them to put new solutions or new problems on the map, but also very important to allow road authorities, municipalities and regions to access the data to know where the problems are and what they can do. Next slide, please.
Michael, so, maybe you can summarize. Yeah. I think we're almost landing, no?
Yes, this is my, I have only two slides. So this is the, so In short, what says this slide, we are working on research and development for all the solutions. So it's ongoing work. Next slide. And this is a call to maybe you who's watching now, maybe you're interested in one of these solutions and in developing it, in the output of these solutions. Here you see some partners who are already trusting us in developing these solutions. So feel free to contact me or the Fietsenbond. My contact details are on the next slide. If you feel that you can do, that you can help us in this, feel free to contact me. So that's it for today.
Thank you very much, Michael. And thank you. We will, of course, share your slides and the presentations of all speakers to the attendants. I should apologize because I thought we had until 12 o'clock originally, while I think it has also been communicated that we were going to finalize by 11:30. I do propose to proceed, not just checking whether there are some first questions to you, Michael. I don't see a lot of things popping up on the chat box. I think you were quite clear and comprehensive. Maybe for the last few minutes, we can take you through some broader question, and then we can also cover any questions to you, Michael, and guide people to some last mentee questions. And if everything is fine, you should see if we go back to Menti, I expected actually a different slide, Kurt.
Yeah, I know, but I had to switch laptop, so I don't think that this will work. Sorry.
All right. Okay. So maybe then we had actually some questions on what people think is the most impactful ITS solution, but also a question on any concerns, any obstacles that people see for introducing ITS. So with my apologies, I see Julie is flagging to us that the working with the QR code should work, but it's probably going to be a little bit too messy, Kurt. So I propose to see if anybody has any further comments or questions on the presentations that were made, the questions and information that were proposed during the call. I see some more questions popping up that are also Corona-related. And I think maybe the most relevant one is an e-platform for pedestrian data. We see different initiatives gathering data. We see it in Wout Baert's presentation. We see it also in your presentation, Michael. We have seen some question also of the Flemish Department of Mobility, while we also know that colleagues from the Brussels region and the Walloon region, the federal level, are here. It's an interesting one. We all see that there is a need to aggregate the data, possibly beyond what the Fietsenbond and what Fietsenberaad is doing. We have seen on the chat box some messages to the national access point for data. So maybe a question to you, Michael, on open data. How do you see a possibility to make as much biking data available as open data in the widest possible form, for instance, on the national access platform for data? Are you aware of the NAP?
Do you hear me? Yes. I'm not a technician, so I'm not comfortable with all the standards and so on, but I hear all the initiatives that are going on at this moment. as a sightless organization, it's obvious that we struggle for more open data, that the more data we have, the more data we can cross, the better it is for everybody, I think. So it's obvious that more open data will be helpful. I just repeat my advice: be careful in the amount of data and what kind of data do we want to know. What kind of having a data lake with a lot of data that you cannot use is not really really sensible.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Michael. And again, we will gather everything that you have seen appear in the chat. Kurt has caught up with some last questions. What are the overall mobility policy measures for cyclists and pedestrians with the most impact? So people that are still able to join us in the Mentimeter, please go ahead and shoot. So this is quite interesting. Maybe we can go to the next one, Kurt.
Sorry. Same problems.
I see that we run into the same problem. We were actually planning three questions. What policy measures have the most impact for soft modes? Also, what ITS solutions have the most impact? And then finally, what obstacles and concerns people see? I think it will be quite difficult, Kurt, to still do that. So I propose that we maybe try to come to a conclusion. Again, for me, it's been quite clear that ITS solutions at the smart infrastructure layer, at the data layer, and also at the solutions to end users layer can really be very impactful for bike traffic. We've seen many good suggestions and questions on the chat. We will actually not only share the presentations, also the participation list, but also the comments and remarks and URLs that were made on the chat. And we hope that this will be a valuable contribution to giving pedestrians and cycling their rightful place in the mobility after Corona. So I would like to thank all of our speakers, also all the people that were attending the call. Apologies for the fact that we slipped time a little and for the messy ending. Our ambition was actually a bit higher, but I think we can leave it at this. You will also find in what we share an overview of our next workshops. And you will see through that many of them are cycling and pedestrian related. So hopefully still very relevant to you. So thank you very much for joining. And we all hope to hear from you and see you soon. Bye for now.